You're listening to Brooklands Radio. We're not in London, Manchester, Reading, or even Brighton or Slough. We're just around the corner from where you are. Brooklands Radio, very local radio. Brooklands Radio.
It's James Pearce on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back to Brooklands Radio. It is 3 minutes past three on Saturday afternoon. And if you're a big fan of motorsport, you're definitely going to want to be tuning in at half three. Got an interview today with Gary Critcher. He is the author of a book called Shutter and Speed, with some amazing photographs in from the world of motorsport in the 1960s and 1970s. You are going to want to catch up with this one, so make sure you're tuned in for that at half past.
It's James Pearce on Brooklands Radio.
Very nearly time for our interview with Gary Critcher. He'll be here in around 5 minutes' time. If you want to catch up with that one, make sure you're listening. For the time now, it's 31 minutes past three. And it's time for our chat this afternoon. Since first joining the BBC in 1976, my guest today has worked behind the scenes at ITN, Sky, Formula One TV and the Discovery Channel. His latest project, however, brings him to the forefront as he shares a previously unseen look back over 60s and 70s motor racing with his new book, Shutter and Speed. Gary Critcher is here with us in the studio this afternoon. Gary, hello.
Hello, James. Nice to see you.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Well, thanks very much for coming in today. We're going to be talking about the book, which I'm going to put some information on social media about. That should be going up at the moment. But talk to me first of all. It's a picture book, so to speak, because it's loads of photographs.
Yes.
How did you get involved with or interested in photography and motorsport and the two together?
I was always into cameras when I was younger, always taking pictures. And I remember my father a long time ago saying to me, looking at some pictures, he said, "Oh, you've got an eye for composition."
Yeah.
So I was always into cameras when I was 14, 15, like you do. You know, you're into gadgets, aren't you?
All the tech.
Motor racing followed. I just got into that. You know, you always watch Formula One on BBC.
As it was back in the day.
Yeah, they were the people that started it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what made the sport. In what, the late 70s when they started the Grand Prix programme?
Yeah. You know?
And it's gone from there. It really has. Because it was hardly on the television before that.
Yeah,
you maybe get three or four races live. Otherwise, it was highlights and bits before that. So, yeah. So from there, you just watch it on a Sunday afternoon, don't you?
Yeah.
You know. Have like Sunday lunch and then
part of the routine,
sit down
isn't
with
it?
Sit down with the motor racing afterwards. So yeah, so that, you know, I've grown up and been collecting and taking photographs and film.
I've
got an archive of film as well.
Oh, amazing!
Which has been used in the odd documentary on the television, that sort of thing.
Nice.
And a few, the odd photograph in magazines and books. But I was talking to a friend of mine this time last year, and he said to me, "Gary, you've got loads of photographs, images. What are you going to do with?" I said, "Well, I don't know, really." He said, "Why don't you do a book?" So I said, "Well, yeah, okay." He said, "But you've got to find a publisher. You got, you know, they take
it's
all
a
the,
lot of work.
It's
isn't
a
it?
Lot." And I said, "I don't fancy doing that
because
you lose all control. You just give them the images and then they design." And he said, "Why don't you do it yourself?" So, yes. And I thought, "Yeah, but I don't know how to do that."
Yeah.
So I got a hold of someone else. One of his friends had done his own book about something else.
Okay.
And he put me onto the designer and the printers, which is what we've gone through with this. And I think it looks quite nice. And the thing was that the archive was sitting there at home. I've got the slides and negatives. And
I was going to say, where do you keep all of this
stuff?
Oh,
they're all on shelves. That's the point. That's what Richard said to me.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to do with it? And it was just sitting there and no one can see it because, you know, we get stuff in the odd magazine.
Yeah,
but it's like two a year.
Mm.
And I've got thousands. I mean, literally thousands. So book is one way of getting some of it out there so people can actually see it.
Exactly.
That's the point. What's the point of it just sitting there on a shelf only I can see it?
Yeah, because...
Well, that's a nice picture.
That's a lovely one.
And there's no one else.
Because you were saying a lot of the stuff in there is previously unseen.
All of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So there's stuff from the 60s. I mean, I took some stuff. I've now got to the point where I used to work in television. I worked in radio and television. I started at the BBC when I left school. Television centre. And stuff like that. Yeah. And then left and went to sort of the commercial sector. And in the end, at one point, I actually worked for Formula One for Bernie Eccleston for 5 years, doing slow motion replays and graphics at every race. Used to go to every race.
Oh, incredible.
And some camera work too. At that point, I thought, you know, there are pictures out there, and I've got some that I took myself when I was young, you know. And it's got to the point where now I know quite a few people that used to work in Formula One and still do. In the book, there's some stuff from the 1969 Indianapolis 500. And they were 35mm colour slides that no one had ever seen. And one of the old Team Lotus mechanics said to me on the phone one day, "Gary, can you scan slides?" And I said, "Well, of course I can.
Yeah.
Don't be silly." He said, I said, "Why?" He said, "I've got all these slides and I want to see them."
Mm.
So I scanned them all for him, and it was about six, seven films, 36 on a roll, from the 60s.
Amazing.
And I scanned them all for him and gave them to him on a CD.
Mm.
And he said, "Do you want the slides?" And I've gone, "Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have those, please."
So in the book, we've got some of Jack Brabham, if you remember him,
yeah,
and Team Lotus with Jochen Rindt and Graham Hill.
Mm.
And the story behind that little section, I think the Team Lotus section is 20-odd pictures.
Mm.
There's a couple more that we didn't use. They weren't as good. The story behind that was that they ran in practice for the... It's called the month of May for Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
You practice and practice.
Yeah,
and
then
do a qualifying the week before the race, the weekend before. And they had a brand new car, and they had two cars. One, I mean, what a stellar lineup that year. They had Graham Hill, who was the current Formula One world champion, and Jochen Rindt, who was going to be the world champion the next year, 1970. And they had a brand new car, which they hadn't tried because it was an Indianapolis car. It wasn't a Formula One car.
Okay.
So they took it to Indy, and that was the only place they could run it. And it wasn't running very well for the month of May.
Ah.
And Mario Andretti, he's probably one of the best drivers ever at Mario. And he had one of the cars. It was running himself, so it was three.
Mm.
And Mario was up to speed very quickly at Indy with the car.
Yeah.
Jochen didn't like it, didn't like Indianapolis, let alone the car. Graham was okay. He'd go round and round like he did. And Mario had a big accident
in
one of the corners. One of the wheel hubs broke as he came out of a corner and crashed.
Jeez.
So it didn't write the car off, but it was a big accident.
Yeah.
But they found that the wheel hubs had cracked from the design. So they couldn't, they had a week to go. So they couldn't get new ones
last thing
made. Mm. So Team Lotus withdrew their entry.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't actually race in 69. So the pictures in the book of the 69 stuff is really unusual because they didn't race in the end. So all the pictures there, and they're all taken in the pit lane, in the pit garages, with Colin Chapman, some of the mechanics who I know, and Mario. And there's a really good picture of Mario and Graham Hill leaning over the front suspension of a car, deep in conversation with no one else around them at the back of the garage. And it's obviously they're both looking at the front suspension, maybe after Mario's accident, to try and suss out what...
Bit of a debrief,
And Mario is standing there, and if you look at the picture really closely, which is what I like, little details, he's got a pencil in his hand. So he was obviously looking at stuff and thinking, there's got to be something wrong here. If there
making
is,
notes.
We've got to make a note. But there's other stuff. There's I like, which is why we got the blue car on the front cover. It's not a Formula One car. I didn't want... Everyone can produce a Formula One book.
Yeah. I was going to say that because it's not all Formula One, is it? It's different motorsports. You've got some Formula Two in there. You've got
some
nice range.
GT, some hill climb from Kenya.
But the Kenya section is very interesting.
And the Malayan Grand Prix of 1962, which is sports cars. You have a Google for that on the internet. There's
nothing.
One picture from that race and nothing.
Mm.
Literally. That's why, and I didn't want to do a Formula One book.
Yeah.
Everyone could do Formula One. So I'd do something slightly different.
Mm.
So what we've got on the front cover is 1960 at Monaco. But it was one of the support races, which was the Formula Junior race, which was like two down from Formula One.
Okay.
So Formula Junior, like Formula Three now, Formula Ford, is the first, when you're a young driver, is the first single-seater car that you drive on your way up.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's Formula Junior. And so it was such a lovely image when I found it. It's like, oh, okay. And I suddenly thought, we can put that on the front of the book.
That one's going
because
to the top.
It's in a side street.
Mm.
The car is just sitting there in a side street, and it looks like the team transporter behind it. It's a colour picture. And there are just people walking past, and there's a family, obviously a young family, with the woman, the mother and father, and the little boy must be 4 years old, and he's just gazing at this car in awe because he's obviously never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And it's on a side street. Can you imagine it? And it's a brilliant picture, and it's like, yeah, we've got to use that. So I wanted to use things... Obviously, Formula One, because everyone knows it.
Yeah,
but I want to do other things to keep it interesting for other enthusiasts.
Mm. And I love that photo, because you're right, it captures the love, actually, even with the family of motorsport. And you think, actually, that's what it's all about with motorsport, isn't it?
And the father's looking at the car as well.
Yeah,
so that little boy was probably hooked on motor racing from that point.
Yeah.
That instant that picture was taken.
That was the moment.
Yeah.
Incredible, incredible. Yeah. So with the thousands of photos you've got, Is it 122 in there?
I think 122 pages.
122 pages.
Obviously, I've not actually added up the number of pages. It's a good few hundred.
There's quite a few in there.
Oh, yeah.
How do you make decisions on right. the ones put on? Is it through memories? Is it the ones you chose?
Yes, it depends on what race it's from. Mm. If something interesting or unusual happened in the race, but also just the content.
Yeah.
If it's something interesting with someone talking to someone that's a bit unusual, or or it's an unusual car. Mm. I mean, we've got some pictures there, if anyone remembers it, from 1971, of, again, the Team Lotus car, because they used to innovate more than anyone else. Mm. It's the Lotus 56, which is the turbine car,
okay,
which had a helicopter engine in it. It's a jet.
Wow.
It's not, there's no gearbox. There's no, you know, normal engine. It's just a jet engine in the back. Emerson Fittipaldi drove it. And it was, I've talked to a couple of the mechanics that worked on it. They said it was a lovely car. But to get it off the line in a normal racing car, you put the clutch in, you put it into first gear. And when the lights go out, you let the clutch out.
Yeah.
This is the old fashioned way of doing it. You don't do it now, obviously. But on the turbine, you don't. You literally have to give it 99% throttle and hold it on the brake because there's no gears. So when the... And then you let the brake off and you're flat.
That's it, gone.
Yeah. So it's a turbine. It was a helicopter engine. It's a Pratt & Whitney turbo.
Wow, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Well, and that's from no one else did. Yeah. You see? So they thought it'd be something different. Mm. And it was fast, but it wasn't up to a normal Cosworth with a DG box gearbox in the back for a normal Formula One car. No.
No.
But, you know, it was worth it. They stuck at it for 2 or 3 years, but in the end, it wasn't working.
No.
So.
That's incredible.
And apparently, Emerson says, because I've interviewed him for something else, and
he
said, Emerson was Formula One world champion in 72 and 74. And he said it was a bit strange because there's no noise. Because all the noise was behind you. And, of course, there's no gearbox to make a little bit of noise, and there was hardly any engine noise.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, a whine. And the only noise you get would be from the tyres if they sort of started to skid or something like that on the track. And that was it. So it was really
That'd
odd.
Be quite disconcerting, well, actually.
Exactly. Absolutely. When you're used to lots of noise.
Mm, yeah. And listening for the noise for certain things.
Absolutely.
Really
so
strange.
So there's some pictures of the turbine in there, which is quite unusual.
Yeah.
So anything picture-wise that caught my eye and was a little bit different, that was the point. Because everyone does pictures of Jackie Stewart and the Tyrrell.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple in here. And we've got some things like, we've got the Gunnar Nielsen, who was a Lotus driver who passed away. He had testicular cancer in 78. Mm. And they had a memorial meeting at Donington Park after that to celebrate him and raise money for his trust.
Yeah.
And they brought some cars out of the Donington Museum. James Hunt was there in his, he drove his old McLaren. And in fact, that was the last time we ever drove a Formula One car in competition.
Wow.
Because this was a sort of timed lap thing, just for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Alan Williams was there in the current Williams. Alan Jones, rather, in the current Williams. And the guy that drove the Lotus 18, which was the 1961 Stirling Moss Monaco winning Cooper, which was Lotus, which was lovely, was George Harrison. So there's a picture of that.
Incredible. And that's the thing, actually. Going
so
through
it's a
the
bit
books,
different, that's the point.
Yeah. Going through the books, there's some really unique ones. And I was showing it to the presenter before, who, like me, big Formula One fan, we were going through and he was going, God, amazing. You know, literally, we had to remember we were on air for a second. It was one of those.
Yeah.
But you're really passionate about motorsport. That's so clear from the fact you've got the history of it. Was it really nice for you putting the book together and finding slides and pictures that you hadn't seen for years?
Well, absolutely. That's absolutely part of it. You're looking and go, oh, yeah, that's a picture of the Lotus 72, say. And you look at it again, oh, hang on a minute, that's so-and-so standing next to it, and that's a designer, and that's Colin Chapman. We'll use that one, because it's a bit different.
And spotting new things?
Rather than just a picture on the track.
Yeah.
Well, certainly the Indianapolis pictures were really... I got one of the mechanics, Doug Garner, who was on the team, and he was on the Indy team at Lotus, because you'd have two different teams, Formula One and Indy.
Oh,
you know,
okay,
two separate teams, cars, or two. And I knew him beforehand. And I found these slides. Who the guy that gave them to me knew Doug, but I hadn't spoken to him in like 35 years.
Yeah.
And I thought, and they're all, as I say, in the Lotus pit. And I know some of the guys, some of the mechanics, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Because some of them got their back to the camera, sort of thing. But you can still recognise them if you know. And I sent them to Doug, and there's about five that he's in. Now, this is 1969, and this was about 18 months ago. I emailed them to him. Oh, I didn't, sorry. I kept them, and I rang him.
Mm.
He picked the phone up and said, Doug, are you near the computer? Yes. I said, I'm just sending you an email now. clicked on it and sent it. And he said, I'm not through yet. I said, hang on a minute. I said, there's five pictures. Don't open them up until I speak.
Yeah.
Okay, so he got them. He said, have a look at number one. And he opened it up and he's gone, that's me. From 50.
Amazing.
Yeah, 49 years, 50 years ago.
Amazing.
And he said, I haven't seen these, Gary. Like, well, of course not.
Yeah.
So, and then he identified lots of people in the photos for me, which
useful.
Is really... And just one story, James, from last week.
Go on.
From last week, I had an email from a guy. I had a review published in the Brooklands Museum.
You did. This is how we found
magazine.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm a member of Brooklands and have been for years, 25 years. And reviewing that, I had an email last Monday from a guy. And he said, dear Gary, just received your book. Very nice. Makes a nice change. Saw your review of it in the Brooklands magazine. Imagine my surprise when I turned to page 8 and see a picture of myself in it. And he used to be a mechanic at Brabham.
Incredible.
How about that? So you couldn't make that one up.
Yeah.
How good is that? Just...
That is so good. That is so good.
So I've said, oh, Tony, we've got to meet up for a cup of coffee and have a chat. I bet he's got some stories.
So we need more stories for the next volume. Because you're hoping to do volume, or you're in the process
of
volume 2,
aren't you?
Yes,
absolutely. If this goes well, which is it's doing, considering I've published it all and done it myself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going not too bad at all.
Good.
Touch wood. So by end of April this year, say, I've made a proper decision whether to do the second one. It's looking good, quite right. I've had so many people say, when's volume 2 coming out?
You need more.
It's like 5 months' work. But yeah.
It's worth it, though.
Yeah. And I've got another one on the go as well. A friend of mine's coming in with it. There was a category in the early 70s called Formula 5000, which was below Formula 1, but it used an American Chevrolet 5-litre engine, which everyone could buy. And it was cheap.
Nice.
It was a single-seater, just like a Formula 1 car. Almost as powerful. Literally almost as powerful.
Yeah.
And it was a big following over here. It ran from sort of 1969 to about 1975. And there's not a lot of stuff out there about it. And a friend of mine's got a load of pictures, and I've got quite a few.
Yeah.
And he said, why don't we do a book together? And I've got, sounds good.
Of course.
So it looks like we're doing that too.
Brilliant.
So volume 2, well, maybe Christmas.
Oh, that'd be good. This. You can get that one in stockings.
Exactly.
You can squeeze them into
and
one of them.
I was going to say, it's only available on the website, shutterandspeed.com.
Yes, good
you
website.
You can't buy it anywhere else.
No, exclusive.
Yeah, it is.
To be fair, though.
It's not on Amazon, nothing.
We're loving that. And the reviews have been very good. So Brooklands Museum have reviewed it.
Yeah, we've had
it
in Classic Porsche magazine. We've had it in a new Auto Tradition, the new magazine, Historic Racing magazine, which is quite good. They reviewed it. Motorsport magazine, that was good.
Amazing.
Got it in there. That was good. Yeah. So and everyone seemed to like it. And they also like the price, which is only 15 quid.
I know, it's a bargain.
Yeah.
I mean, it is worth it for those photos.
Especially some of these motor racing books. There's some by some of the drivers, and they come out, they're really nicely, I mean, they're lovely books.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're £75.
Yeah.
And that's
huge
way
amount.
Too much.
Yeah.
I can't afford that.
No, it's a fantastic book. If you want to go and find out more information, you can go to the website, which is shutterandspeed.com, where you can also find out how to get in contact with Gary. Gary, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
No,
I will ask you quickly, before we go to a song, Formula One this season coming up. Obviously, it starts next weekend.
Yeah.
Any opinions on the new season?
I'd like to see McLaren do a bit better. I'd like to see Williams do a lot better.
Yeah.
But it's not looking good.
No, it's not.
It's got to be Ferrari. I don't know about Mercedes. I don't know, they were sandbagging last week testing.
I know, it's tricky to tell from the testing this year in Barcelona, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
I know, they were all sandbagging, but we'll have to wait and see. This time next week.
Yeah, I know. We are so close to it. It's very good. Gary, thank you very much for coming along. I'm going to be talking about Red Nose Day in the second hour. That's coming up next Friday. And of course, and not just because Gary came in today, the start of this year's F1 season, which kicks off next weekend in Melbourne.